I'm glad to be here today. I really am. I consider it a great privilege to be able to minister to you for the billionth time, and you gracefully and patiently put up with it. And so I'm kind of conscious. Brother Pritchard used to say that grace is wasted on most of us. Because we just don't realize, right, you know, what the great cost it had to our Lord to love us, and how much grace is wasted one another, putting up with one another. So we're conscious of that. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. There's one little verse. I'm going to build a whole sermon around it. So here it is. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Would you bow your heart with me? Dear Lord, I pray that we'll get it here this morning. I pray for a revelation of yourself, Lord. I thank you that you're the greatest, best thing that's ever happened to every one of us here. We thank you for this inexpressible gift. Use me this morning, Lord, to speak into hearts. Lord, as you speak into my heart, make it real to me. Make it real to us. And may it have a long-lasting effect. May it twirl through our minds later into the day and perhaps even into the week. So, Lord, thank you. And only you can do that. It's so important, Lord, that our hearts receive it. So thank you. In your precious name. Amen. Amen. I never know where to start on something. Once you get started, it's hard to stop. But getting started is always the hardest. But in my thinking, I got thinking about Jesus, that the book of Hebrews said he's spoken to us through the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. That's the last revelation that God has ever given. He sent the prophets with a revelation, but in the last days, he sent his Son. And thus the reason for the great rejoicing in our hearts. And so I thought of the things that Jesus is better than, he's greater than. I remember, brother, some of you would know D.W. Breen. He's gone on now. I think we were at his funeral together, Rex, if I remember that. And he would be teaching on the book of Hebrews. And of course, Jesus is better. He's better than Melchizedek. He's better than Aaron. He's better than that, you know, you go through that. And he was a large man with jowls. And he would, and finally, you know, he was trying to express it. Better than Aaron. Better than Jesus is better. He's just better. And he is. He is. So how, in what way? Number one, there is one greater than the temple. That's what Jesus said. The temple was everything to the Jews. And Jesus said, one greater than the temple is here, referring to himself. And I made this comment, that the temple was the center of the religious life, the very life of the Jewish nation. Everything was the temple. It was the center of their faith. It was the center of their hope. One greater than the temple is here. Jesus recognized as they were admiring the temple and maybe so grateful perhaps even for the temple. And yet Jesus said, you see the temple, I tell you, one greater than the temple is in your midst. It seemed preposterous to us. And yet down through the ages, that truth has been confirmed over and over and over again. The temple is gone. All that is left is a wailing wall. He lives on. The temple is gone. They could never, ever believe that temple would be gone. It is gone. But Jesus lives on, the most important person in all of human affairs, one greater than the temple is here. Jesus is bigger than all of our systems. And I'm grateful for that. It warms me thinking of that. Bigger than all of our systems. They are related to him and not he to them. So he is the absolute, they are the relative. They must all stand before the judgment bar of this one person. And so we pray, O Christ, thou art my center. Thou art my circumference. I start with you and I end with you. Christ has towered over us and will tower over all the works of time. Christ shall remain. I made a little note here that very often Christianity has become eccentric, off the center, away from Christ. Because it's important that we grab this, that Christianity is Christ. He is Christ. Or he is Christianity. So apart from Christ, we know very little about God, the nature of God, what he's like. And we do not start with God, but from our ideas about God. We must start from God's idea about himself, and God's idea about himself is Christ. In these last days, Christ has spoken to us. So Jesus is breaking through to us. That's what we know about our Lord. He's breaking through to us. He's the great simplification. Whatever, when you tell me how you resent, and people do all the time, tell me how they resent God. And I said, do you understand the final revelation? You wouldn't hate him at all. You'd love him. I said, if you want to know what God is like, look to Jesus. That's what God is like. That was the whole point of the revelation. Jesus breaking through to us. The great simplification. God speaking to us in a human language. We could hear him. He said, in whom we have touched and tasted. And so Jesus is the human life of God. He is God become intimate. And so the important things are two for our personal lives is what is your center? What is your center? What is my center? And what is my circumference? They depend on each other. For you soon get to the end of your circumference if you have the wrong center. Jesus must always be the center, not Christianity, but Jesus. The various forms of Christianity will come and go as we've even seen ourselves. And that's come and that's gone. That thing sprung up and that movement came about, but it's gone. And Christ shall remain. Christ must be the center, always the center. And we should not be so interested in anything else, but just the very fact that it is in him that these truths lie. From him we work out to God and life and human problems. But it must be Christ at the center. Everything else. Somebody says, what denomination is this? Well, we can tell them. Right? We are a part of a fellowship, but that's not our center. Jesus must be our center. Otherwise, we become focused on the church movement and the AC, in our case, the ACOP fellowship. Or part of evangelicalism, and be off of from Christ. It is Christ that it captivates us. And we're stunned and stirred and staggered by the fact that we know this, the living one. And all that I know about God, I find in the face of Jesus. And that's my God, the the one, because the revelation in my, to me, came through Jesus, and how wonderful it is. So he's our starting point. The one greater than the temple. See, this to the Jews, that was everything. And for us, we're able to say, and Jesus said, there's someone great. You know, that would have been like a cannon going off. Greater than the temple. Greater than the temple. And Jesus, yeah, someone, a greater is there. And it was him. So that's the first point. Secondly, one greater than the Bible is here. Oh, now I know I'm going to be maybe looking for work. Somebody get a rope. We have the Bible. We have the Bible. I have a Bible with me here this morning. We honor the Bible. We assimilate the Bible. We revere the Bible. We obey the Bible. But the Bible is not the revelation of God. It is the inspired record of the revelation. The revelation was seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to John's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 39. Verse 38, you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. You do not believe the one in whom he has sent. You search the scriptures, right? You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you might have life. The life is not found in the Bible, it's found in Christ, who brings me to the truth of the scriptures. Eternal life is not in the pages. Oh, I remember years ago, I went to visit a home. I was invited to come to this home to pray over a very sick child. And when I got there, I saw a sight that I hadn't seen too many times, was the Bible was propped up in the crib, and it was open. I mean, the little baby was in the crib, but here was this Bible propped right up. And I said, well, you can never start them learning to read too young, can you? And they said, no, that's for his healing. Well, then I realized that the Bible is now going to be the source of healing. And I said, for me, I was uncomfortable with that. Because these are just pages. Unless you've got it, is it somehow the Bible now has become a magical book to you or to me? So eternal life is not, and Jesus said that, it's not in these, he said, you think you'll find eternal life. You won't. And that's why, I remember years ago, I remember that CBC program and Gordon Sinclair, there was a crusty old reprobate if there ever was, but I always enjoyed him. But he was very glad to say that he reads the Bible every day of his life for literature value. That's why, and so there's various reasons, things you can do with the Bible. But I appreciate what John Wimber said at one occasion. He said, the Bible is not the meal. The Bible is the menu. Christ is the meal. And I can say amen to that. Christ is the meal. And so when we're led, many you would think that the Bible was the meal. And the hubbub over what translation. Listen, that's only the menu. Christ is the meal. And we come to him. And so, if the person, well, no, maybe I'll save that just for a minute. The Word was not made printer's ink. The Word was made flesh. Not a page, but a person. One greater than the Bible is here. Somebody said to me not very long ago that they felt that there was a mediation, that perhaps Christ was not, that we needed another or some reinforcement to the revelation. And all I could think about was 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, which says there is one mediator between God, and his point was that there perhaps are many mediators, and Christ is one of the mediators. And I thought of this scripture, that there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. That's a very powerful verse. So Paul calls Christ the unspeakable, the inexpressible gift. I think that touches me in many different ways. He couldn't quite speak him. He was inexpressible. We can't find the words. Oh, we think, but this might be some of the words, but he's inexpressible. This inexpressible gift that Paul's trying to find a language that to convey that, this wonderful, powerful gift. He couldn't quite speak him. And of course, there's controversy. Somebody says, shouldn't we just concentrate on the Pauline epistles? And I made a little note to myself that I don't speak Paul's epistles. I speak Christ, who has revealed through Paul's epistles and through other channels. But he is bigger than all the channels. The Word, capital W, the Word is greater than Paul's Word. Moreover, Christ was here before the New Testament. He created it. It did not create him. He created it. The person is greater, always greater than the product. We love and honor the product, but only as it leads us to his feet and to an allegiance to him. And so one, we are able to say one greater than the Bible is here, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the revelation to us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Indescribable. Why? How could that be? You say, well, somebody should... Inexpressible. And yet we see enough of him to love him and give our hearts fully to him. You see, the Old Testament, and I right now, I just finished reading 1 John. Now I'm not sure where to go, because I don't know about you, but I like reading book by book. If I go verse by verse, I'm lost, because I flip and flop, I'm here and there and everywhere. And so I like reading from a book. I'm thinking I'm going to go to the Old Testament, because I'd been for a while in the New Testament. I want to go from Genesis to Revelation, back and forth, and a number of times while I'm alive. It's precious and it's important. But it's also important to say that the Old Testament, excuse me, is the period of preparation for Christ. For Christ. It is not, the Old Testament is not Christianity. Give the Old Testament to somebody and see where they end up. Right? They'll end up with all kinds of things. They'll be burning witches, and they'll be learning stuff and claiming things and building a temple and wearing priest outfits. And there'll be all kinds of things. There'll be no end of it. So the Old Testament is the period of preparation for Christ. It is not Christianity. It is both pre-Christian and it is sub-Christian. Revelation was progressively moving on and found its completion and perfection. Because which way is the Bible pointing? It's pointing to way from the old to the new to see, show how that revelation has been completed. It's found its completion and perfection in Jesus. And every symbol of the Old Testament points to Christ. Jesus said, You have heard that it was said by them of old time. He's referring to the Old Testament scriptures. But I say unto you, well, what? He's bringing a revelation. Yes? He said, you've heard it said, I'm telling you, this is how it is. So Jesus changed the standards and made his own word final. That's the Lord that we serve. So we can say one greater than the Ten Commandments is here. And that's true. We honor and love the commandments, but Christ transcends them. John 13:34, Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you. Who is this? Who is this who's bringing a new commandment? Who's adding here? The Lord is adding. He said, that was that. This is what I say. And we are stunned and staggered, and we say, well, thank you, Lord. So our code is not the Ten Commandments. It is not a set of commandments that would be legalism. I believe in the Ten, and let me say this to be clear, I believe in the Ten Commandments and the Old Testament Scriptures, but we look to Christ to have him reveal himself to us. So one greater than the Ten Commandments is here. Let me move on. Number three, one greater than the creeds is here. Now, with our heritage, we haven't had, this isn't such a large issue as it would be in other circles. In some circles, the creeds are everything. How many know what I'm speaking about? You were raised with the creeds. And the creeds begin to have power after a while. See, one greater than these creeds has come. And that's Jesus. Number four, one greater than rites and ceremonies is here. See, to make any rite, any ceremony essential to salvation, it makes an idol out of it. No rite, no ceremony of any kind is essential to salvation. We are not saved by a rite or a ceremony, but by Christ Jesus. And so we say, how about water baptism? I read about this Baptist woman, she said, who obviously believed in water baptism, but she said, someone asked her, well, what about water baptism? And she replied, it's all right, but you mustn't hang around the river too long. You mustn't hang around the river too long. Why? Because you'll make a ritual out of it. You'll make it essential to salvation. And there's no essentials. There's not Christ plus. It's just Christ equals salvation. Christ equals salvation. So don't stay too long around the water. Even something like this can become more important than Christ. Say, oh, would you anoint me? Oh, he's going to anoint me. I can bring nothing that Christ doesn't bring. And I must not put my hope in anything other than presenting Jesus. And so Galatians chapter 6, verse 15, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation focused on Jesus Christ. And so if the communion leads to communion with Christ, we've just had communion. If the communion leads to communion with Christ and with all others who belong to Christ, then it is holy communion. But if it leads to exclusiveness, that only members can participate, or only males can participate, then it becomes something else. If it leads to exclusiveness and special rights to special people, then it is an unholy communion. Because to us, we must focus always on Christ. And that's why, for a Roman Catholic to come to our church, he staggered and almost turned off the emptiness and the lack of statues. And I've had, over the years, many say, whoa, you could hardly have church here. There's no statues. Where's Mary? We say, well, we want to focus on Christ. We want that to be the center. But we mustn't have a statue here because we know where that would lead us. It would lead us to the adoration of Christ, only in a statue. And people would come, and they would want us to you know, I go and touch the statue. Maybe I got to apply for a job. I'll slip down to the Full Gospel Church, touch the statue. You know, I'm speaking of what I know to be true. People say, can we sit in? Some people want to sit in the church, and they can sit. And nothing wrong with sitting in a church. Boy, I tell you, we sat in a lot of churches, but there's no life. That was interesting. You know, some of these were museums. There was no life in it, although we were, wow, so amazing. Yeah, so amazing. But you can't focus on that. You must focus on Christ Jesus. And so, number five, one greater than the church is here. Isn't it funny how a church can become more important than the Lord? Our history can become more important than the Lord. Our heritage can become more important than the Lord. Matter of fact, we might even say one greater than the cross is here. And we would be correct on that. We sometimes say that we are saved by the cross, but that's not really accurate. We are not saved by the cross. We are saved by Christ, who died for us upon the cross. But it's about Christ. We're saved by Christ. We're not saved by the cross. We're saved by Christ. I am saved, but I am saved by Him, not by the cross. Otherwise, we'll have a cross here somehow. We know we will. I mean, I know how that will be. But we are saved by Jesus. One greater than the resurrection is here. See, how could that be? Jesus said that we don't have faith in the resurrection. We have faith in the resurrected Christ. And what is he saying? Jesus said, I didn't say I'm about the resurrection. I am the resurrection. And then that brings us back to John's gospel, where Jesus said, listen, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, if you believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I am the way. I'm not the way to the way. I am the way. I don't point to the way. See, every other religious leader in the world points the way. Jesus points to himself and says, I am the resurrection. I rose. I'm involved in a resurrection, but I am the resurrection. And he said, I am also, I don't point the way, I am the way. John 11:25. What a powerful verse that leaves us clinging on to the Lord. I am the resurrection and the life. Matter of fact, that's the part I like of an Anglican service, when it's kind of everybody's out in full deck, or all dressed up, and you come out and there's the priest often says, maybe always says, I am the resurrection and the life. I thought, oh, wow. Say it again. That's so good. Say it again. See, one greater than the church. You say, well, I belong to Lynn Valley Full Gospel Church, and we couldn't be happier. We're so happy you're here. But your connection needs to be with Christ, not with this church. Or you will be led down, not necessarily wanting to be or wishing it was. You will be off center. You will be in love with something else. You will be comforted by the church and not by Christ. You will be bragging about your church instead of Christ. See, everything is about the Lord. One greater than the church, belonging to a group. There's many people that are very proud of their heritage. Oh, we have this many years, we have that many. Yes, perhaps that's true. But a congregation does not save you. To me, you say, I got saved at Valley Church. Oh, maybe that's what's wrong with you. Maybe that explains it. When somebody says, Pastor Owen, I got saved under your ministry. Oh, now I know what happened. You got saved under my ministry. That's what I say. You didn't get, I mean, I know maybe just picking at loose things here, But it's important. This church cannot save you, and it can't keep you. You must have an encounter with Jesus. If you get saved, it's because Jesus saved you, not because Marcel or myself or the elders or anyone else had any other part of it. Belonging to a congregation does not save you. As good as that congregation might be, and as Bible-centered as that might be, and as Holy Spirit-focused that might be, if it is not focused on Jesus Christ alone, you are already in trouble in your life. Because you'll be off-center, away from the center. The center is every. If the center is Christ, then we know what the circumference will be like. I'm glad that a congregation doesn't save us. I'm glad we're able to say Jesus saves. Belonging to Christ saves us. Knowing who we belong to saves us. It's wonderful. It's powerful. Please stand. I want to just ask you a question before we pray. For me, and I'm sure Marcel could say the same thing, for me as a pastor, it's very easy to forget what I just said. It's very easy. We traffic in unlived truth so often. And pretty soon we're talking about the church. We're talking about this and that. And it's just natural. It just goes to the territory. Then we realize how perhaps dull we feel inside because we're around religious things. You know, we'll be talking about translation, and indeed we should. Talking about translations, and we're talking about when the Christ is going to come back, what day, and we're worried about this. We're trying to figure out what the best discipleship program is, and pretty soon we're just knee-deep in religion. And I don't even know how to avoid it, except that each time that you come into his presence to say, Lord, make yourself real to me. Make Christ the center of my life and my heart. Or I'll be a guy and you'll be a person that will know all the right doctrines. You'll have the grace figured out. You'll have this figured out. You'll know what legalism is about. You'll have everything right about it. You know, you'll be zealous and you say, I'm a good evangelical Pentecostal. I get these things. I'm up to date on my Bible. You can't pull anything over on me. And we debate and argue. And I said, no, listen, get back to Christ. It is all in him. It's not that we can't have some fun debating. Or we for a moment we read this or we read that. But I'm telling you, if it leads you away from love for Jesus, you're really floundering. And I don't want to flounder. I want my heart to be, I want to stay in love with this inexpressible gift. What a statement. How can it be inexpressible? It didn't have the words for it. The gift of Jesus said, thanks be to God for this inexpressible gift. Lord, wherever there's signs of abandonment of a core truth, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us. If somehow we are in love with the Bible or in love with the denomination or love with a doctrine, and if somehow, Lord, it takes us from you, oh, forgive us, Lord. We know in the last day, many Christs will come. Many will say, here, lo, here is Christ, lo, there is Christ. Lord, we thank you. This is the one that gave his life for us. And we praise you and thank you and love you that in your words, Lord, it is indescribable. Oh, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. I thank you, God. I praise you. What a gift you are. I pray, Lord, we will not be known as anything else but followers of Christ, the one who gave himself for us. Will you touch everybody here today, Lord? And I pray that our love for you will just overwhelm. And Lord, I pray that as we go about our days ahead, looking for ways to describe this indescribable, just thank you for blowing our minds. We haven't been able to get over you, Lord. We haven't recovered. You have revealed yourself to us, and we know who you are. And we bless you. Light a fire in us. God, we thank you for where you're taking us. And we will touch on all these things. There will be Bibles and there will be emphases. But Lord, I pray that all the history of this church, may it be said, we stayed focused on the resurrected one. We love you, Lord, that a greater than anything is here today. I love you, Jesus. Thank you. Your precious and holy name. Thank you for being so absolutely beautiful. Amen.